We want to turn God's word today to 1 Kings and the chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17 for our Bible reading. And we're going to read together from the first one. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee thence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. It shall be that I shall drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went, and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Amen. We pray indeed God will bless the reading of his word, even to all of our hearts. So let's look to the Lord, let's pray for his blessing to be upon his word today as we meet to worship him in our homes. We pray God's word will come with power and it'll be a message to all of our hearts at this time. Our loving eternal Father in heaven, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, that we can come, we can read it, we can study it, we can see thee, we can hear thy voice, thy speaks to us through thy word. And we ask you to speak to the congregation today while we're gathered in our homes because of the coronavirus. We pray that you will minister the word of God to the hearts of all who would listen to it. And I pray, Lord, just be the word that some needs to hear today in these trying and difficult times. We thank you that we have one we can trust. We have one who can help us and lean upon at this time. We pray, Lord, I will pour out your spirit upon us and bless us now around thy word and thy truth. We pray everything, Lord, to be said and done for thy glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Elijah dwelling down here at Brook Cherith. Hard to believe that it's 9 weeks since our congregation has been able to join together to worship God. And I don't think anyone foresaw that this shutdown was going to last so long. In fact, I think of myself, I did not think it would last for so long. We're shut off from each other. We're shut off from families. And we're shut off from our friends. And perhaps for some of the congregation, at this particular time, you're feeling distress and you're feeling tired and feeling lonely as you're closed in your home. When I come to the Bible, I see there are times God's people are alone. We think of Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 16. It tells us about Paul and he was in prison. And it says in verse 16 of 2 Timothy 4, At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. And the Apostle Paul here is showing us that he's alone. He's all alone. And in the very passage here of 1 Kings chapter 17, we find another man, the prophet of God, dwelling alone, and he's dwelling at a place called Brook Cherith. We can look at the passage. You can see he has no friends with him. He has no family with him. No, there's Elijah down here at this Brook Cherith, and he's all alone. And yet when I look at this passage, there are great lessons to learn about this man dwelling down at Brook Cherith. And the first thing I want to notice here is the divine command to Elijah. The divine command to Elijah. We ask the question, why is this great prophet dwelling down at Brook Cherith? Well, the answer to this is very, very simple. God commanded him to go to Brook Cherith. You can see that in verse 2 and verse 3. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee thence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And here God comes unto Elijah, and God has a message for him. The word of the Lord comes powerfully. Listen, it comes personally to Elijah. God says, go and get down to Bridgearth. So why is Elijah down here at Bridgearth? Because God commanded him to go. He commanded him about the place. God is very specific in this. He says to him to go to the brook Cherith here to dwell. No other brook, no other place was he to go to. He was not to go to some valley. He was not to go to some village. He was not to go to some mountain. But God says, here is where you're going to go to. Here's where I want you to go to. I want you to go to brook Cherith. God is ordering his steps. He is coming to his child. And he's saying, here is where I want you to go to be. And so this is why we find Elijah down at Bridgearth. God commanded and God directed his steps to this place. And when Elijah was sitting here at Bridgearth, and someone tapped him on the shoulder and says, Elijah, why are you here? He could say very simply, God has led me here. God has brought me here. It is the same for every child of God. It's the wonderful thing that God looks after us. He directs us. Psalm 37 and verse 23. Here's what the Bible says. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. And the wonderful thing is this. In the Christian journey. Remember, we are on a journey. We are going to heaven. Those of us who are saved and have Christ as our Saviour. We are on a journey towards heaven. But here we find God. God directs our footsteps. And there are times he directs our footsteps to a barren place. To a difficult place. A place that's like a wilderness. A place we feel alone. There's loneliness. And it's difficult. And child of God, perhaps maybe that's how you feel at this particular moment. In a difficult place. We're closed off. We're closed in. It's hard. It's difficult. We're at our brook Cherith in a sense. And so we ask ourselves the question, why is it we're at this particular place in our life, in our journey towards heaven? Well, that's just very simple, because here's where God has brought us to. The Lord has brought us to this place. He's directed all our footsteps to this preacher. It was not my plan, it certainly was not your plan, but it's God's. And so we find here he commanded him concerning the place. And I want to say something else about this command. I think it was peculiar, because how strange and unexpected this command would have been to the heart of Elijah. Go and hide yourself at this brook Cherith. I have no doubt it was not what he expected to do. We find in the first couple of verses, as if Elijah appears out of nowhere, this mighty man of God, this prophet of God, he comes to stand face to face with the great enemy of God, Ahab. And he tells them, there'll be not to be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word, God is going to shut the heavens. There's going to be no rain. There's going to be a drought. There's going to be a famine. And he stands in the name of the Lord. Well, you can imagine the boldness and the courage of this man in doing this. And as he was leaving Ahab, perhaps he felt, now it's time to face the people. Now it's time to go to Jerusalem. Now it's time to take on the false prophets of Baal and to take a real bold stand for God and to continue this ministry. But just nearly, friends, as if out of the blue, God said, no, Elijah, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and hide yourself. Hide yourself by the brook Cherith. And I, to me, that's a peculiar command. He never expected it. And maybe you would say, it is a strange situation we're in today. I never expected to be sitting in my home. Listen, is it 9 weeks now? Closed off from church, closed off from work, closed off from our family, closed off from our friends. And we look outside and the weather's brilliant. It's wonderful weather. And some of our congregation are builders and they cannot get out on the building site. What beautiful weather is for building. I myself closed in the study. Here, I closed in my home, I look out and I say, what wonderful weather to do the work of God, to do door-to-door evangelism, to do gospel campaigns, to put up a tent, to put up a poor little hall in the field, great weather for it, and to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it maybe seems peculiar. It maybe seems strange that we're stuck at our brook Cherith at this particular time. But friends, it's good to remember God's word. In Isaiah 55 and verse 8, here's what the prophet said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." For God's ways, of course, and his thoughts, he goes on to say, is higher than our thoughts. And so it may seem peculiar at this time. But the great George Mueller said these words, "God not only orders our steps, he orders our stops." I want to read that again. "God not only orders our steps, he orders our stops." Elijah was stopped. Get down to the brook trail. We have all been stopped at this moment in time. So maybe there's something peculiar in this command to us. But this is where God wants us to be. This is where God wants us to be. Can I fully understand it? Can I fully explain it? No, I cannot. But this is where we are. Because God has commanded this to happen at this time. And this command also, I think, it had a purpose. And God never does anything without a purpose. To everything the Bible says, there is a season. He has a reason for all of his works. And even for coming here to Elijah and saying to Elijah, get away down to Big Cherith, there was a purpose. And God tells him why it was. Go and hide yourself. And the word hide means to be absent, concealed, or to keep secret. And the reason was this. Ahab was full of rage. He was full of anger. He was seeking to take away the life of Ahab. Elijah had to be hidden. So God says, go and hide yourself. Here's why you're going down. And that's why he went down. When Obadiah met Elijah after this, he says to Elijah in 1 Kings and the chapter 18, verse 10, "As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee." And he says to Elijah, Did you know that King Ahab has been looking for you, every nation? He's been searching towns, villages, countries. He's searching for you. But dear friends, where was Elijah? God had him in the right place. God had him down in Brook Cherith. And there was a purpose in this. There was a purpose. And maybe you today are asking the question, what's the purpose of all this? Why is it I'm sitting around? I could be working. I could be serving the Lord. Well, child of God, remember these words. God has a purpose for the coronavirus. God has a purpose. There's a tremendous verse in Ephesians 1 and verse 11 about our great God, "in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." And this tremendous, our great, our mighty, and our sovereign God, he worketh all things, not just some things, but all things he worketh after the counsel of his will. He has a great plan for this. This coronavirus for the world is part of the plan of a mighty God. He has a plan. Do I know the plan? I don't know the plan. I'm not going into speculation about why God has sent the coronavirus. But it's part of a great plan. It's part of his plan. At this particular time, child of God. And also we can see the mighty power of God in it, because he has stuck the world in a sense. Maybe some people can remember the sermon I preached one time in the church where the Lord says, the prophet, "Go and proclaim unto the nations, the Lord reigneth." Go and tell them. Go and tell the nations all over the world that God is king and the Lord reigneth. And you remember that particular time I spoke about China and the president, how he watched in the 1st of October 2019, how he watched the military parade pass by, and as he watched all the great weapons that was displayed before him, he said these words, "No force can shake the status of China or stop the Chinese people and nation from marching forward." He says, no force can stop us or stop the Chinese people and nation from marching forward. No force. I think of that. Somebody coughed. Somebody sneezed in China. And God stopped the whole country. just a cough and a sneeze, a virus, a flu. Listen, he's really, in a sense, he has put the brakes on the world. And God has a purpose. Showing people he is God. That people will look to Christ. That people will consider their soul, friends, and realize that we're only here a short time, a period of time. And to consider God. And so I find here the command to Elijah. Why is he at this breakthrough? Because God brought him there. And friends, why is it we're closed off from one another? Why is it we are where we are? Listen, we're on a journey. He's leading us home to heaven. Because God has brought us to this junction in our life. He's brought us to our breakthrough. I want to say a second thing here when I think of Elijah breakthrough. I want to think about the divine cure for Elijah. Because the Lord said tremendous words in verse 4. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Tremendous words. God is saying to Elijah, get away down to brook Cherith. For I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And I want you to think of this divine cure of God. This cure was promised. I think of this. It was promised by God. God said, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. I have promised, I have commanded this to be done. And what was God doing? He was promising to Elijah at this time of drought and famine that he would undertake for him. That he would be fed. Unusual, of course. How was God says, I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And the ravens in Leviticus chapter 11 verse 15 are brought into a time of an unclean kind. But God was using these unclean birds, the task of feeding Elijah. And they were going to fly in with this food. Talk about a carry out service. They were going to bring the food to Elijah. God said, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And you think of this, the ravens would raise no suspicion. And all the people would pass. No remarks, the ravens going in out of the bushes. There had been people that could have been spotted, but not the ravens. And God had promised this cure unto Elijah. And overruled nature for the glory and for the provision of his people. Thou child of God, at your brook, remember this. God is caring for you. Maybe some people's getting it hard spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially. You're getting it tough. And you're looking in a sense and your brook Cherith is drawing down. The funds is getting lower. It's good to remind ourselves of the word of God. As God said to Elijah, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. God promises to look after his people. And to provide their every need. The Psalm 23 and verse 1, that tremendous psalm about our great shepherd. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And it's good to remind ourselves at this particular time that God will take care of you. He'll take care of you. Remember David said in Psalm 37 and verse 25, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor has seed begging bread. I've never seen it. David said, I never have seen these things. God looks after his people. The promise of the Lord. The Lord will look after you, child of God. He looks after all his people. He looked after Elijah at his difficult moment in his life. And I have no doubt about it. The Lord will look after you. He will look after me as well. The promise of his cure. Think of the portion of his cure. Where he tells him what he's going to get on the menu. Or what is going to be on the menu. In verse 6. And the ravens brought him bread and fresh in the morning. And bread and fresh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. Here's a portion of it. There was bread. There was meat. And then of course. There was water. Now we think perhaps. Just the bare necessities. But think of this, child of God. It was all he needed. That's all he needs to remain alive and to sustain him at this particular time. The portion of it. And that's how God deals with us, of course. He gives us sometimes just what we need. We have heard of Christians in other countries like Kenya living by hand to mouth, day by day. Perhaps we don't do that. Maybe some are doing it in our home time at this time, hand to mouth, one day at a time. But there's times God just gives us the bare necessities. It's just what we need, bud. It's just what we need. Do you remember it says in 1 Timothy 6 verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. There's food and raiment, the bare necessities. That's all we need at this time. Food and raiment. And dear friends, here's the great thing. The portion of this care. God met his need. God met his need here at this particular time. Think about the persistence of this care as well. Because you see there in verse 6, in the morning and in the evening. In the morning and in the evening. There was Elijah the brook, and he looked, and there were the ravens fluttering in with the bread and the flesh every day. Every day they came to him. In the morning he got his breakfast. In the evening he got his evening meal as well. There was not a day. He never missed a meal. Because God was taking care of him. God was taking care of him. In the morning and in the evening. As God here had promised, I've commanded the ravens to feed thee. Every morning and every evening. Listen. Just one meal at a time. Just one meal at a time. He was not able to store it up. Now you and I maybe like surplus. We like to store things up. But sometimes God brings us to a place. It's just one day at a time. One meal at a time. A child of God hears the truth. God will look after you today. Don't worry about tomorrow. The Lord Jesus tells us that we're not to have any care about what we eat or drink. No, don't be anxious about these things. About tomorrow. One day at a time. God will take care of you today. He met your need today. Did he meet it yesterday? He did. What about the day before? Today, what about tomorrow? Maybe you look in the cupboards and there's not much in them tomorrow. But friends, tomorrow comes, there will be. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. Here is the persistence of this care. There are tremendous words in Lamentations 3 verse 22. It is the Lord's mercies that were not consumed because of his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Listen, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. God is faithful to us every morning. His mercies, they are new every morning. He will look after me today. He will look after me tomorrow, the next day, as time permits. And child of God, for you, God will take care of you. Every day. Not just one day. Every day. And the Lord Jesus told us to pray in Matthew 6 verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Every day he'll look after us. Think also about the place of his care. I have commanded the ravens, listen, to feed thee there. Where? Where's the there? The there in this barren place. In this lonely place. In this hard place. But it was God's place. And if Elijah was going to be fed, he better be at Brook Cherith. He better be at Brook Cherith. But that's where God had to command. This is where God was leading him. This was the will of God for his life. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. He had to be at the right place. For God to care for him. Oh, child of God. God look after us at the right place. Do you know you're in the right place with God? Is your heart right with God today? Maybe some are backslidden. Dear friends, you are right with God. Are you in the right place with God? The right, think of the right job. Think of the right home. The right church. God has promised to feed us there. Walk with God. Love Christ. Follow him. And friends, he'll take care of you. He will take care of you. Here is the cure for Elijah. I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And if you're fretting, if you're worrying, friends, a child of God, maybe some are today. Some are getting maybe very difficult. I think of Christians in other countries, and you and I probably closed in with plenty. They're closed in with nothing, but dear friends, If you're fretting today, think of this. God will care for you. Have commanded ravens to feed you there. He will look after you. His way, his time, be in the right place. Keep close to Christ. Can I say another lesson here about Elijah at Brook? The divine command and divine care. But think about the divine counsel for Elijah. Elijah learned lessons when he dwelt here at Brook. He had to sense that someone suggested go to a boot camp before he could be placed on the military field. Elijah was counseled. He learned lessons. At this difficult place, at Brook, God sent him down to Brook, and Elijah learned lessons. And I want to name just some very briefly to you. He learned about God's protection. God protected him. And Ahab was on the warpath, as I said. He was searching for him, seeking to take away his life. But Elijah learned, God's protecting me. Where did he learn this? He learned it down at Brook. He learned that God was providing for him. He saw the ravens coming in. How great is my God? How great is my God? He's providing for me. He's providing. He never would have learnt these lessons if God didn't place them down at Brook. And sometimes, dear friends, it is, I know, it's in the hard times, it's in the difficult times that we learn lessons you'll never learn anywhere else. That God's protecting me. That God is providing for me. He learnt these lessons, and so will you and I at this particular time. We'll learn lessons. We'll be able to testify when we come together again at church the great things God has done for us at this particular time, how he's watched over us, provided for us. He learned also about prayer. What did he spend his time? Well, he prayed to God. He prayed to God. He prayed, and James tells about him praying that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain, dear friends. He prayed, he met with God. He learned patience also. Think of this. He said, some people reckon that he was there for about 1 year. A year. He sat at this book. For a year, he learned patience, waiting upon God. Friends, there's one thing this has learned me, and I thought maybe for many people here today, it's learned a bit of patience. We want to get up, we want to go. But God says, no, no, you sit at Brook. So there we are, sitting, looking out through the window every day. We're learning patience. In Psalm 37 verse 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And we're learning this. We're learning this. Where do you learn it? At your Brook. He learnt humility. He learnt he was nothing. We're all learning this at this particular time, that we're nothing. He learnt to trust God. He learnt it. He learnt to trust God at this particular time. All the barrenness all around him. He saw the brook drying out, dear friends. But he looked to God. He kept his eye on God. He learned to trust the Lord. As Lloyd Jones says, faith is a refusal to panic. And dear friends, we're learning to trust God at this time. We're learning to trust him. Where do you learn it? In the difficult moments. Oh, we're up in the mountain. Oh, we can put our faith in God. We can rejoice in the Lord. But when you're in a brook church and times are difficult and times are barren and times is hard, oh, then friends, that's where you've got to trust God. Here he is, at Brook. We're at our Brook today. But one day the Lord will bring us out. He brought Elijah out at the right time. He will bring us out. And then we'll go on and seek to live for Christ and follow him. Keep your eyes in Christ. He will not fail you. He's with you. He's watching over you. He's protecting you. He's providing for you. He'll help you. He'll bring you through. He'll bring us all through. Because we have a great Saviour. I wonder, for those who's listening, who's not saved, that you'll think today about Christ and you put your faith in him and he will save you and give you everlasting life. I trust today the Lord will bless these few thoughts to all of our hearts. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, bless your word to hearts. I pray that it be an encouragement to all who has heard them and to realize why we dwell at our Brook, spiritually speaking, we know God is with us. Keep your hand upon us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.